Welcome back. We finished up last episode talking about the Anakim, the Canaanite giants who had descended from the Nephilim. And the Nephilim, of course, were the offspring of the giant watchers, or I think they were giants, or the Anunnaki. I think they were the Anunnaki. And the normal-sized human women that they mated with. Well, a few days ago, I found this story on the BBC News website. Headline, Giant Stone Artifacts Found on Rare Ice Age Site in Kent. That's in England. Now, this is a site that's thought to date back to a time when Neanderthals coexisted with other early human species in prehistoric Britain. The senior archaeologist at the site, Lady Ingrie, is quoted several times in this article, and she says, "These hand axes are so big, it's difficult to imagine how they could have been easily held and used. Right now, we aren't sure why such large tools were being made. Perhaps they fulfilled a less practical or more symbolic function than other tools." Well, maybe. But wouldn't it be a simpler hypothesis that the tools were giant-sized because the tool users were giant-sized? You know, what would have been way too big for a normal human to use might have been just right for an 8 or 9 foot watcher or one of the Nephilim. Maybe that's what the Earth women liked about the Watchers. They had giant tools. Well, the Israelites were scared of those giant tools. Well, giant weapons anyway. As we will see here in Numbers chapter 14, starting in verse 1. "And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, Let us make a captain, and let us return into Egypt." Now, captain just means leader. "Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey." See, Joshua and Caleb weren't worried about the Anakim because they knew that even giants wouldn't be able to stand up to the superior weaponry of the Yahwehlians. "Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, How long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have shewed among them? I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them and will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. And Moses said unto the Lord, Then the Egyptians shall hear it, for thou broughtest up this people in thy might from among them. And they will tell it to the inhabitants of the land, for they have heard that thou, Lord, art among this people, that thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and that thy cloud standeth over them, and that thou goest before them by daytime in a pillar of a cloud, and in a pillar of fire by night. Now if thou shalt kill all this people as one man, then the nations which have heard the fame of thee will speak, saying, Because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he sware unto them, therefore he hath slain them in the wilderness. And now, I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great, according as thou hast spoken, saying, The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according unto the greatness of thy mercy, and as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. You know, for somebody with a speech impediment, who had to have his brother Aaron be his spokesperson, his mouthpiece, Moses has turned into a pretty smooth talker, if these are accurate quotes. You know, he's able to hold his own with Lord Yahweh, maybe even get the better of him. I think he gets the better of him this time, as we'll see in the next verse. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word, but as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwelt in the valley. Parenthetical remark. Tomorrow turn you and get you into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. By the way of the Red Sea means toward the Red Sea, toward the Gulf of Aqaba. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, How long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, As truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Doubtless ye shall not come into the land, concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua the son of Nun. But your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness. And your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years, and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. After the number of the days in which ye searched the land, even 40 days, each day for a year shall ye bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it unto all this evil congregation that are gathered together against me. In this wilderness they shall be consumed, and there they shall die. And the men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up a slander upon the land, even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land, died by the plague before the Lord. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of the men that went to search the land, lived still. So the 10 spies that brought back the negative report about Canaan were killed, but the 2 that brought back the positive report were spared. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I always heard that you shouldn't kill the messenger just because you don't like the message. And if you were only going to accept a positive report, What was the point in sending out the spies to begin with? You know, the negative reports may have been wrong, but if you already knew that, you didn't need their reports. You were risking their lives unnecessarily. But, you know, obviously they were expendable. You know, it says they died by the plague, but the Hebrew word that is translated as plague actually means stroke. So they all suffered a sudden fatal stroke. A Yahwelian-induced stroke, no doubt, due to a death ray, perhaps. And Moses told these sayings unto all the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly. And they rose up early in the morning and gat them up into the top of the mountain, saying, Lo, we be here, and will go up unto the place which the Lord hath promised, for we have sinned. And Moses said, Wherefore now do ye transgress the commandment of the Lord? But it shall not prosper. Go not up, for the Lord is not among you, that ye be not smitten before your enemies. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and ye shall fall by the sword, because ye have turned away from the Lord. Therefore the Lord will not be with you. But they presumed to go up unto the hilltop. Nevertheless, the ark of the covenant of the Lord and Moses departed not out of the camp. Then the Amalekites came down, and the Canaanites, which dwelt in that hill, and smote them, and discomfited them, even unto Hormah. And that's the end of chapter 14. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When ye be come into the land of your habitations, which I give unto you, and will make an offering by fire unto the Lord, a burnt offering, or a sacrifice in performing a vow, or in a freewill offering, or in your solemn feasts, to make a sweet savor unto the Lord of the herd or of the flock, then shall he that offereth his offering unto the Lord bring a meat offering of a tenth deal of flour, mingled with the fourth part of an hin of oil. And the fourth part of an hin of wine for a drink offering shalt thou prepare with the burnt offering or sacrifice for one lamb. Now that's what you're supposed to offer along with one lamb. Then after this, it goes into what meat and drink offerings you make along with a ram. And it goes into what you're supposed to offer along with a bullock. And you know, each one is slightly different than for a lamb, but it's boring, so I'm going to skip it. It stresses that the rules are the same, whether you're an Israelite or a stranger in their midst. And then it goes into when to offer heave offerings, and what to offer if you fail to offer what you were supposed to offer, and how the penalty is worse if you did that on purpose than if you did it accidentally, and so on. I'm going to skip all that. And down to verse 32. And while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man that gathered sticks upon the Sabbath day. And they that found him gathering sticks brought him unto Moses and Aaron and unto all the congregation. And they put him in ward because it was not declared what should be done to him. They locked him up until a decision was rendered. A decision for what to do with him for, you know, picking up firewood on the Sabbath day. And the Lord said unto Moses, The man shall be surely put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones without the camp. And all the congregation brought him without the camp and stoned him with stones, and he died, as the Lord commanded Moses. Those Yahwelians were harsh. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put upon the fringe of the borders a riband of blue. Now the King James Version says fringes, but other translations say tassels. Now I think of a tassel as something a little different from a fringe. You know, a tassel is more like what you got on your mortarboard when you graduate. So I don't think they were decked out in a fringe jacket like Buffalo Bill or David Crosby or whoever. And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that ye may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them, and that ye seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which ye used to go a-whoring, that ye may remember and do all my commandments and be holy unto your God. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. And that's the end of chapter 15. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them, Ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord? So we got a little insurrection going on here. And this one involves the Levites. See, Korah is the great-grandson of Levi. He's a Levite. And he's rebelling. You know, one of the priestly classes is rebelling. And presumably he has a bunch of followers too. And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face. And he spake unto Korah and unto all his company, saying, Even tomorrow the Lord will shew who are his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him. Even him whom he hath chosen will he cause to come near unto him. This do, take you censers, Korah, and all his company, and put fire therein, and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord doth choose, he shall be holy. You take too much upon you, ye sons of Levi. Now, it seems to me that Moses is setting a little trap for them here, because only the priests are supposed to do this. Only the priests are supposed to offer the incense. And the Levites are the priestly class, but they're not necessarily the priests. And Moses said unto Korah, Hear, I pray you, ye sons of Levi. Seemeth it but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel hath separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them? Man, I'm glad I don't have to diagram sentences anymore. And he hath brought thee near to him and all thy brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee. And seek ye the priesthood also? For which cause both thou and all thy company are gathered together against the Lord. And what is Aaron that ye murmur against him? And Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, which said, We will not come up. Is it a small thing that thou hast brought us up out of a land that floweth with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness? Except thou make thyself altogether a prince over us? Moreover, thou hast not brought us into a land that floweth with milk and honey, or given us inheritance of fields and vineyards. Wilt thou put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up. And Moses was very wroth, and said unto the Lord, Respect not thou their offering. I have not taken one ass from them, neither have I hurt one of them. And Moses said unto Korah, Be thou and all thy company before the Lord, thou and they and Aaron tomorrow. And take every man his censer and put incense in them. And bring ye before the Lord every man his censer, 250 censers, thou also and Aaron, each of you his censer. You know, this is really a dirty trick. If he, you know, unless he's just not thinking, you know, he's got to know that only the priests are allowed to do this. And they took every man his censer, and put fire in them, and laid incense thereon, and stood in the door of the tabernacle of the congregation with Moses and Aaron. And Korah gathered all the congregation against them unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the congregation. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, Separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. In other words, get out of the line of my phaser fire. And they fell upon their faces and said, O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin, and wilt thou be wroth with all the congregation? And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the congregation, saying, Get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And Moses rose up and went unto Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spake unto the congregation, saying, Depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest you be consumed in all their sins. So they got up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram on every side. And Dathan and Abiram came out and stood in the door of their tents, and their wives, and their sons, and their little children. And Moses said, Hereby ye shall know that the Lord hath sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of mine own word. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth and swallow them up with all that appertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. Now, this sounds like Moses must have been tipped off as to what was about to happen. And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods. They and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. Okay, so it wasn't phaser fire. Some sort of, earthquake machine, sinkhole generator. I don't know if there is such a thing, but, you know, what causes sinkholes? Wikipedia tells us that sinkholes are cavities or pits in the ground that form when water erodes an underlying rock layer, or if the rock is limestone, salt beds, or carbonate rock, which can naturally dissolve by groundwater circulating through them. Now, since it mentions salt, if this had happened a little farther north, I would have, you know, suspected that, you know, it was the salt beds around the Dead Sea that where this happened. But, you know, this was further south, and it was in higher elevations. The Dead Sea is really low. And since it's in higher elevations, Wikipedia tells us in another place that the highlands of Israel are primarily underlain by sedimentary limestone. And it is in higher elevations, because remember when Moses sent for Dathan and Abiram, they said, we will not come up, which seems to indicate that he was summoning them to a higher elevation. So I think it was limestone where the sinkhole formed. And the Yahwehlians must have had some sort of, ground-penetrating radar that, you know, that could pinpoint where a potential sinkhole was, and then they could cause it to collapse, maybe in much the same way that they would later cause the walls of Jericho to collapse. But, you know, the sinkhole would have been a much easier job. Now, we'll get to Jericho in a few episodes. And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them. And they said, Lest the earth swallow us up also. And there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. There you go. I knew there'd be phase of fire at some point. So only the priests, only the sons of Aaron, were allowed to offer incense. And Moses knew that, yet he encouraged them to do it. But, you know, I guess these 250 Levites would have known it too, so they were scofflaws and got what they deserved, I suppose. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, that he take up the censers out of the burning, and scatter thou the fire yonder, for they are hallowed. The censers of these sinners against their own souls, let them make them broad plates for a covering of the altar, for they offered them before the Lord. Therefore they are hallowed, and they shall be a sign unto the children of Israel. And Eleazar the priest took the brazen censers, wherewith they that were burnt had offered, and they were made broad plates for a covering of the altar, to be a memorial unto the children of Israel, that no stranger which is not of the seed of Aaron come near to offer incense before the Lord, that he be not as Korah and as his company, as the Lord said to him by the hand of Moses. But on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, Ye have killed the people of the Lord. You've killed some Levites. And it came to pass, when the congregation was gathered against Moses and against Aaron, that they looked toward the tabernacle of the congregation, and behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. And Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of the congregation. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Get you up from among this congregation, that I may consume them as in a moment. And they fell upon their faces. And Moses said unto Aaron, Take a censer, and put fire therein from off the altar, and put on incense, and go quickly unto the congregation, and make an atonement for them. For there is wrath gone out from the Lord, the plague is begun. And Aaron took as Moses commanded, and ran into the midst of the congregation, and behold, the plague was begun among the people. And he put on incense and made an atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. So this death ray was sweeping through the crowd, you know, through the multitude, leaving waves of dead stroke victims in its wake. But when it got to where Aaron stood, you know, swinging his censer, it stopped. And I guess it was because they didn't want to kill off the high priest. They didn't want to kill him off because he'd been very easy to control up to this point. You know, maybe he wasn't so easy to control this time, but he had been an asset, and he would continue to be. Now they that died in the plague were 14,700, beside them that died about the matter of Korah. And Aaron returned unto Moses, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the plague was stayed. So good job, Aaron. If you never did anything else good in your life, at least this one time, you were a hero. Well, that's the end of chapter 16. We're out of time again. We'll pick it up at the start of chapter 17 next time. Until then, keep the faith. Don't give any reports that the Lord doesn't want to hear. Avoid the sinkholes and try not to stroke out.